Hagot, the Rama comments over here, v'chalav zocher loimikri chalav. However, the milk from a zocher is not considered milk. Loimikri chalav klal, it's not considered milk at all. V'mnafal tech kedera shel basar ina oiser. And if it falls into a pot of meat, it will not aser at all. Okay, so seemingly at first glance, this would contradict what the Mechaber just said. The Mechaber before said, listed chalav zocher as one of the milks that are potter vein lakin al achilasai. So you don't get malchus, but there is an issur d'rabbanan if one were to cook with chalav zocher. So the Shach points out, no, there's no machlokes over here. The Mechaber was talking about chalav zocher from a male animal, from a bull, and the Rama is talking about chalav from a zocher, from a human. And just like by chalav isha, we said earlier that that's not considered milk at all, and it might be an issue of maris ayin. But if here too we're talking about where it's imnafal atoch kedera, Rama is using the same lashon as before. If it falls into a pot, even though one may not add it, if it were to fall into a pot, it would not aser the meat. Okay, the Rama continues. Aval chalav mesa umechalav oisur mamaychal kamo chalav atzma. So, but the mechalav, the chalav drabanan, or the chalav from a mesa, which is also another form of chalav drabanan, if one takes milk after they shechted or after the cow dies, if they were to extract the milk from the udder, so that milk is only chalav midrabanan, and it would not make basar b'chalav midaraisa. V'afilu b'bishul yesh la'asur l'chatchilin, but that type of milk, one should not cook l'chatchila with meat. And again, according to Rikiv Eger, that would just mean one may not cook it intending to eat it. But it doesn't mean that one may not, if one wants to cook it for other purposes, there would not be an iser in such a case. Yesh oimrim da'asu lachdois ha'esh tachas ha'kateir shal goy l'fi she'im avashlem pamim cholav pamim basar. So Rama brings now a series of chumras. The first chumra is that one should not stoke the fire underneath a non-Jew's pot, because since the pot is used sometimes for milk, sometimes for meat, so the pot has bliyas in it of both basar and chalav, and one, by stoking the fire, one might be cooking inside the walls of the pot, or into the water that's being cooked inside the pot, one might be cooking or causing to cook basar b'chalav. Oid kasvu, de'en la'ariv mayim she'idichu behem klei basar, im mayim she'idichu behem klei chalav, v'litin lefnei behemo, dasurim b'hana. Also, one should not mix waters that were used to clean your milcha gekelim together with water that was used to clean your fleish gekelim. Talking about where the water is hot water, one cleans the kelim with, they used to have a pot, a large pot, they would heat it up and they would place their dirty kelim into it in order to clean them. So if one was to pour out the hot water and from the milchigs and the hot water from the fleishigs together, they will be causing, they will be cooking, in a sense, basar b'chalav. Oid kasvu, the kli she'oisibay mayim l'chfifas ha'roish, the kli that they used for warming up water that one would use for washing one's hair, ain l'shamish boy. One should not use that for eating. The oisin oisa may efer sha'al hakira, because one places ashes into that, one takes the ash from the kira, and that was the soap that they would use. They would use the ash from the kira, and they'd mix it in with the water. For gilasu l'sarif sham basar b'chalav, that ash would have drippings of from basar and drippings from chalav into it. L'chein yesh la'asar gam kein l'shtamish min ha'kederis shel tatanurim shir beis ha'charif. Also, one should not use the pots that were in the beis ha'charif, in the furnace that was used to heat the house. Mishum de nitzisim aleim l'pom min basar v'chalav min ha'kederis shir vashel tatanurim, because people would hang also pots of a food in there to warm up, and it would drip from there onto this pot that was inside that he held the water, and therefore that pot inside will have drippings sometimes of meat, drippings sometimes of milk, and therefore that pot is balua with basar b'chalav. U'b'diyavid ein lachash b'kol zeh, but all these, the Rama says, really they're just chumras. One doesn't have to really be chayshish for all these things. V'af l'chatchila ein b'zeh ela chumras, ba'alma, va'mekel, lo yifsid. In truth, says the Rama, really, these are a lot of chumras here, and one who is mekel on this does not lose out. But l'chatchila, the proper thing to do is to be careful in these inyanim that the Rama mentions for the various reasons that he mentions. So the Shach points out that it would be, the proper thing is that the non-Jew who is if they eat and they prepare their food in a Yid's house, they should have two separate pots, one for fleishigs and one for milchigs, just like Yidden have two separate pots. Even though obviously the non-Jew is not mechuyev in the halachas of basar b'chalav, but because someone from the household might end up turning on the fire for them or stoking the coals for them, so in order to avoid this issue of potentially coming l'day Yisr Basar B'cholov, the proper thing would be that the non-Jew should also have two separate sets of pots. One for milchigs, one for fleishigs. Again, this is a chumrah, and the Shach himself says, Ein olam nizarim b'zeh, it doesn't seem like that is the common minig, that the non-Jewish help has two separate sets of pots. Riki Vager has a very interesting discussion of his, the famous Riki Vager, that he asks, what's the issue of the Yid maybe stoking the pot? He's not being mechavin to cook the basar b'chalav over here. And he says, furthermore, it's not a psik reisha either. We don't know if the pot was used for fleishigs, or if it's a ben yoimai of the fleishigs, or was it used for milchigs, or what it was. He's not being mechavin to cook basar b'chalav, and maybe there isn't any basar b'chalav. So this should be a classic example of a psik reisha where it's not a psik ratio. By davar shenei miskaven, that's not a psik ratio. And by such cases, we ordinarily assume the halacha is that it's mutter. So why over here is there even a chumrah to be chayshish and not to be mechata in the gechalim? So Riki Eger says that there's another concept called a suffic psik ratio. That is, if you're not sure the outcome, what the outcome is going to be, but the outcome is already set up. It's in such a case like this, where the pot is already has in it the basar, it has the chalav, it has the basar b'chalav in it. It's not my action of being mechata is not that it might cause a bishul basar b'chalav or it might not. If there's basar b'chalav in there, it will cause a bishul basar b'chalav. The only suffix is whether there is such a bliyah here or not. Riki Vager says this contrasts this to the case of where I drag a bench across the yard, where it's a suffix whether it's going to form a chritz, whether it's going to be over the yisr of chayrish. In such a case, it's not known for sure. It depends on many factors. It depends how exactly I pull it, and how if it goes on a straight or on an angle, or you know, it depends on exactly the nature of the way that the bench is going to be pulled across the yard. So there, it's not predetermined whether the Yisr of Chayrish will take place or not. That's a classic example of a psik resha, of a davar shenei miskaven that's not a psik resha. He's not mechaben to make the chritz. He's not mechaben to make to form a rut in the ground, and it's not predetermined that such a rut will be created. However, if you over here when you stoke the coals, if there's basar b'chalav in the pot, you're definitely being mechata the basar b'chalav. It's true, it's a suffix. You don't know what it is. That Riki Vager terms a suffix psik resha, and that he says, according to Ramah, that would be asur. However, Riki Vager points out that there's a taz in Hilchos Shabbos that says mefurish that a suffix psik resha is mutter. The taz has a case where you have a box, and if you close the lid, you might be capturing flies inside the box, and even though the person isn't mechaven for it. But if there are flies in the box, they're going to be caught. You don't know whether the flies are in the box or not, but if there are flies there, they're definitely going to be caught when you're going to be over the isser of tzeda when you close the lid. And the Taz over there compares that to a case of a davar shenei miskaven that's not a psik resha. Since there isn't for sure that there are flies in the box, the Taz considers that not to be a psik resha. Even though, according to the definition that the Rikki Eger just put forth, that should be a classic, that should be an example of a suffix psik resha. So you see, the Taz holds that it's not an issue, but seemingly from the Ramah, it would seem that there is such a concept of a suffix psik resha.